From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgate. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Hey, welcome to the Ring Podcast with Ranger Proud. The hockey season's still on pause. We'll have a discussion, see how everybody's doing. And, of course, our episode, BleedBlueShow.com. Episodes can be found on iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify for the Millennials. Without further ado, the great one himself, Ranger Proud. Man, I hope all is well, man. The social distancing and times and the life of society, man. I hope all is well, bro. How's everything?
Everything's well, you know. Like you said, just trying to get by, and it's real unusual time in the world, huh?
Yeah, it's generational, man. You know, I don't think we've seen the stoppage of sports since the Second World War in the mid-40s, but this is a different type of war against, you know, something we can't see, so you have to protect yourself. So on the sports front, as we spoke the last time 2 weeks ago, it's gotten worse, as you already know. But how are you holding up? Or what's your thoughts on the sport of hockey and how it's affecting the NHL and then all the circuits in between?
You know, holding up as well as expected. It's, I guess it's the same for everybody. It's a little frustrating. It's a little anxiety and, you know, the same as everyone else. But we just got to try to take it day by day and, you know, hope people just are smart and, you can see it in our society. I mean, I live in New York, and I know you're in Jersey, and how it's just spread so fast and so quickly. I mean, from March 1st till today, it's just amazing the numbers of the cases. But, you know, everyone's just got to be smart. Everyone's got to do their part and stay home as much as you can and, you know, go for your walks and 6 feet away from people and all these things that just need to be done to help us get by, to move on, not just for sports, just to get our way of life back to where it was February 1st, let's say. It's been a real interesting 60 days, if you look at it, from February 1st to March 1st when New York got their very first case. Tomorrow's April 1st, and it's just, the numbers are just crazy. So with regards to sports, there's really not much going on. Unfortunately, I think every time you read something, I guess it's more bad news. You know, the NHL keeps backing up their self-quarantining of players, just trying to keep players safe. Now I think it's like April 19th or April 30th. I even forgot the date. And then Toronto dropped a bombshell today announcing they've canceled all large events until June 30th, unless it's in a private arena or a private venue. Kind of puts a real kink in the NBA and the NHL's return plans. It also affects Major League Baseball with the Blue Jays. So I don't know. Nothing has really been said with that. That news just came out today. But I would think if either the Canadian teams, because if it's Toronto, it's going to go to the other areas, I would assume. The league has a it's going to have a real tough time awarding a Stanley Cup. And I personally think we've seen the last New York Ranger game this year anyway, because I don't think they're gonna have, I don't think they're gonna finish the regular season. I don't think they're gonna have enough time. Because they're gonna need.
What do you think? Okay. Let me ask you this: if that is the case, which is highly possible based on off, you know, the projection of where this has been going, are you saying cancel altogether, or we're just gonna not crown a champion, or like do we continue the season later on at some point and then maybe pick up another, like, let's say a next season probably be reduced with the number of games? Like, how do you think they could play that out? There's a lot of complications, like we said last time, too.
Sure, they could. I mean, I'm assuming that if they wanted to, they could start the next season in November and still get a full season in. You know, you'd have to eliminate the bye weeks, be willing to play more back-to-back kind of games. But I think they could do it. There are two things you have to look at. At what point do you, by not giving up on this season, you don't want to jeopardize next season? So that's something I have to keep in mind. I know a lot of the players were interviewed from the different conferences over this last week. I read some of them. You know, the big question was, would you want to jump right into the playoffs, or would you want a regular season to conclude and then the playoffs? And players like Crosby and Ovechkin would rather it just started with the playoffs, which,
of course
in their position, you would expect them to say. But what I was surprised is Connor McDavid was like, Connor McDavid didn't want to jump right into the playoffs. He said, us jumping into a playoff and going against Calgary, it would be more of a fight fest than a hockey game because no one's really played. So they're going to need some sort of mini camp if this all clears up and they wanted to do something, say, the beginning of August. These guys and goalies and teams, they probably wouldn't have skated in almost two and a half months. There's no way they can just start the playoffs. So you're looking at maybe a 15 or 20-day kind of a camp, maybe, which would all but knock out the regular season games, because you wouldn't be able to do that and then get 12 games or 10 games in and then jump into the playoffs. I don't think there's enough time. You don't know what rink availability is, though the league did ask for all 31 teams' arena schedules for August, right after we had spoken. So there's a lot of unknowns. There's also a huge contract issue, Steve, because contractually everyone's contract expires. I think it's normally right after the Stanley Cup final or June 30th, somewhere in that bracket. And if now you're going to be playing games into August and possibly September, you would have to redo or come up with some sort of mass agreement for the contracts to be extended. You'd have to delay free agency signing. You'd have to delay the NHL draft. There's a lot to it contract-wise if you want to go into August and all, which is all things the Players Association and the NHL is willing to work out to make this happen. But there's a lot of logistics involved, and it's really hard when you have no idea when your season would start or continue.
Yeah, that is the same exact thing we said yesterday on our baseball episode. Almost word for word, exactly the way you laid it out with the players' union, and everybody's going to have to come to an agreement and how they're going to deal with the contracts, because the contracts are expired if they have expiration at a certain point after the season. Everything you said pretty much applies to every sport for the most part. So you're absolutely correct.
Yeah,
and
I would think so.
And to what you're alluding to of the contracts have these incentives. It's like, for instance, a player like a Connor McDavid, he's already got his big contract, but maybe there's incentives in there where he, you know, wants to make the most money. But that's over an 82 regular season, 82 regular season schedule. Then you have the playoffs. Uh-huh. So, you know, everybody has – it's really unique how all these domino effects hit different areas of the sport. It's a very unprecedented time when it comes to that. As far as what you said about Toronto, I didn't hear. Well, of course, I knew I wouldn't hear about it. RP, I've been watching movies all day, so I didn't see. You know, like you said about the news, like if that thing starts affecting you, because the news could depress and can give you an anxiety. You got to turn it off and put on a happy face, man. You got to.
That's news.
I'm glad you shared
every
that.
Day. It's just anxiety and death and just bad news. Yeah. Granted, it's expected right now where we're at, but it's tough to, you know, so you try to go on social media and read, you know, funny videos, clips, whatever, but the bad news just seems to find its way through everything else. So, but yeah, that Toronto thing is going to probably put, I mean, it's going to affect the CFL too, the Canadian Football League. It's going to connect. It's going to affect everything. It's a huge issue. No one knows if they jump the gun. I mean, today's almost April 1st. You're talking about all of April, all of May, and all the way. So you're talking another 90 days of no sports, let's say, in Toronto, because they don't think it's going to turn around, or they think it's going to get worse before it gets better. That's a long time to estimate. I mean, even in our country here, they're doing things in 2-3 week increments. Even though you know it'll be longer, they're trying to keep that window or that door of hope open. So I don't know what Canada knows that we don't know, but this is for our sports. This is definitely puts a kink in the plans. I mean, every time the NHL thinks they could set something up, the things that they can control
supersede what they can control.
Correct. I saw that I believe it was the Senators broadcaster got diagnosed with the COVID-19. Last time I checked, it may be more now, but I believe it was a couple of Avalanche players the last time I looked. Even know if any of the Rangers players have been tested for. We know Dolan got
nothing.
It, or Dolan has been diagnosed.
I don't know if they've been tested. I don't know if anyone's been tested. I haven't read any Rangers. That have it. You know, the testing is a strange thing because even though you read, 49,000 people are tested and 59,000 people are tested, the way it's supposed to be working is if you have a symptom other than respiratory, like if you have a fever and a cough or you just have fever, they don't want you to go get tested because they don't want you to go into an area where there might be people that have it that can make it worse. They just want you to self-quarantine. So if a player had it, I guess in the NHL, playing and they're all kind of separated, I guess somehow it's leaking out when they let their team know, their team doctors know, well, I did test positive, then it's coming out because it's kind of weird. None of the teams are together right now. So I don't know how that's all shaking out. But, another thing, Steve, that we even talk about is some of the players aren't even in the country now.
I was just going to say that.
They're overseas.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
They may have trouble getting back when things start to open up because no one knows how they're going to be opening up the borders and internationally with the airports and all. So there's a lot of things up in the air that the league and the parent clubs don't know about. They did approve for them to go home if they wanted to, which you can understand. I know a lot of the Rangers branched out. D'Angelo went back home to Philadelphia and like I said, Kako back in Finland. So these guys have gone wherever they need to go because it's going to be apparently a lot longer than everybody thought.
Yeah, I was going to say that a lot of these players live in different countries that are outside of the continental United States, continental North America, traveling, getting back. Who knows if the timetable of them getting back and aligning when the season either restarts or resumes or discontinues and then resumes later on. That's a huge factor. And as far as roster, if they're going to increase the number of roster spots, I mean, there's a lot of factors in this. One of the biggest things, RP, just how fast this happened, and this applies to everybody in society, but the biggest adjustment for me, RP, and I think that could speak to a lot of people in the tri-state or just in the country, but especially people in the Northeast, I'd say especially from Boston all the way to like D.C. area, anything where a mass transportation system, you're so relying on it to get to and from that you kind of have to, you really can't, they're telling you, giving you the advice of not going out. I'm so used to going and coming where I choose to go. Like even 2 weeks ago, when we were on last time we were on, I had a road trip to Pittsburgh for the Ranger Pittsburgh game. Had to cancel it. Was pissed, because I was sort of looking forward to it. RP, I was looking forward to going to that, for that game. And then a week later, I was, the Knicks game on my birthday. I was looking forward to going to New Orleans and celebrating with the family. But little things like that, I'm so accustomed. Like, I do it so effortlessly. Like, kind of like how you travel all the time with the family, for sports, especially on the weekends. Like, you're so used to just pick it up and go. And it's not without hesitation. Now you just have to game plan just to go get a loaf of bread or just get a traveling here.
Yeah.
I mean, it feels like the Walking Dead, a show I really love watching, actually. I'm all caught up. Well, I always was caught up even during the season, but it is really a time of, adjustment, the social distancing. This kind of goes in my favor, though, RP. I mean, as much as I am out going out and about traveling, around the city, the tri-state or whatever, country for our teams, But the funny thing, the irony, I am a natural homebody as well. Because me and you have to watch the game so we can know what the hell we're talking about. So I am steady too. I can be steady as well. So the no sports part it's starting to catch up to me a little bit. I mean, I miss the Rangers hockey. I miss all the other sports and teams we root for. I do miss it, but it's starting to catch up a little because I'm running out of things to watch, because a lot of the shows I was really behind, because obviously we're watching Rangers every day or every other day and how they're doing. And you got to know, you know, talk about it and speak about it or whatever. But that's the biggest adjustment. Now the sports is starting to catch up a little bit. Just a little bit.
Just a little bit? Wow, you're good. I'm going crazy.
Yeah.
The only thing that saves me is I'm a NASCAR guy, too. So I've been able to watch the last 2 weeks of that e-NASCAR iRacing, which is just like watching the real thing. It's amazing. So that's gives you an hour and a half away from all of this. I got to tell you, those two Sundays, you just put the phone down, put the game, put the race on, and just sit there and crack a beer and go, all right, for an hour and a half, life is normal again. And sometimes that's all you need, but it's hard to find. It's amazing how much sports takes you away from the aggravation of work and school and family and finances and all. And you just get, you know, you miss those 3 hours to watch a Ranger game or watch a basketball game or a baseball game or whatever our sport is. And instead, you can't get away from it. The news is always there. There's always an issue. It's without the sport, you know, and it's funny. You appreciate all the things people do on Twitter, these funny videos and top five this and top five that. But after a while, it's just like you're searching to write things. You're searching to read things, and it's just not the same. That's the part that's got me. Social media now got extremely, I don't want to say boring, but repetitive. Everybody's trying to do the same thing just to do it. You know, the originality is lost because there's nothing to talk about. There's nothing to write about. There's nothing to discuss. There's nothing to argue. That's the other thing that sports do. It gets you going a little bit. So this is a tough road for everybody. I guess New York, New Jersey right now, we're the epicenter of this hell, and you have all that stress and pressure on you. So it's like I said when we started, it's a strange world right now.
But what about, okay, I don't know if you wrote about this yet with Elite Sports New York. What about how to deter, this could apply to the NBA as well, but the NHL, do you not crown a champion for the 1920 season, or do you, is it just more of a wait and see? Like
It has to be a wait and see. I was thinking about that. It's hard to write, what if there's no season? Because it's kind of already a self-answer. Well, if they don't continue, then there's no Stanley Cup winner. And it's an asterisk on the season, and that's what it is. It's so hard to anticipate what's going to happen when you don't – see, even if they eventually came out with a date and said, okay, everybody can play sports July 8th. Okay, well, now the league could sit down and go, all right, so what can we do? If it's July 8th, we could do 3 weeks of training camp in our own arenas. We can – either jump right into the playoffs come August, or if we do a couple of games, there's so many you don't know. There's so many unanswered questions. It's hard to proceed with any idea of what they want to do. You know they want to award a Stanley Cup. You know the NBA wants to award a championship, but how do you go about it? And the other problem you remember, Steve, is now what happens, look at the Rangers. They're 2 points out of a playoff spot. They had 12 games to go. Their winning percentage is better than some of the teams in the playoffs. So now the season didn't end correctly. Now you got a team on the outside looking in that might be in it, that might deserve it. What are they going to do about that? Now you're going to have an unbalanced schedule. You're going to have an unbalanced season going into the playoffs. The league might say, tough crap, this is what we have to do to award a winner. And the Ranger fans and the Ranger players will just have to suck it up and deal with it.
Yeah.
Do they add two more playoff teams in each conference to sort of even it all out and play an extra couple of playoff games, or however they want to decide to do it, a play-in, whatever you want to call it, to give them a little bit more of a fair chance? You just don't know. And those are just things that I'm sure they're considering, they're looking about. I also heard other rumor of you heard about the lotto, right? There's a rumor going since they don't have – The lottery tournament, they want to call it. There was another rumor going around.
Okay.
I don't know when the hell they would have time to play that. But where are they going to play all these games? So until you have a date of when you can actually open up for business, everything is spec. Everything is waiting. I'm sure the NHL has a calendar and says, all right, well, if we get going by this date, we can do this. If we get going by this date, we can do that. But obviously they haven't released that. Or maybe it's not finalized really because they don't know availability of arenas. There's a lot to it. There's other things, Steve. How does the ice play out in August in Nashville?
Yeah, no, I thought about that. Yeah.
As great as Daniel Greg is, who's the guy who does the Winter Classics, and he's really the ice guru, you're going to have ice problems in some of these places, you know.
Yeah.
You're going to California in August. You're going to Florida in August. Those chillers are going to be working triple as hard as they normally are with people in the arena and this and that. Will it work? It's never happened before. I'm sure it will. I would doubt it'd be an issue, but it is another question that they sort of don't have an answer for. Who knows if this is all – nobody knows.
Yeah,
so
what you were saying about writing is kind of hard.
Yeah, you know, from a sports standpoint, and you want to know something, the way things are going right now, I truly have to think that the four major sports are so not interested in sports right now. I really believe that. I think there's just too much going on in the world. There's too much uncertainty in the world, never mind in the sports world. Somewhere, I mean, of course, it's the business, and you don't want to lose it all. I mean, the baseball has to be in a similar circumstance. They may have, what, a two-month season. I mean, baseball may not pick up to August. And then what do you do? I heard a rumor they wanted to play baseball into mid-November. Who's going to go watch a baseball game in mid-November in New York? It's
the
a tough
only,
thing to do. I'm sure the fans would do it and want to do it. But let me tell you something.
Yeah.
Do you want to lose the World Series because you were playing in 31-degree weather? It's something that
it
they have to factor
that
in.
It hasn't been that bad. November
could be great, and November could be ice cold.
Maybe they do
the World Series as a neutral site game this year.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
We discussed that, too.
I mean, that's another issue, like something like what the NFL does. Maybe they say for this year, we're going to randomly out of a hat pick a warm weather place or maybe an indoor place, and we'll have the World Series in a best of seven in November, but it'll be indoor, and we can control the environment and play a game in a major league ballpark, but it will have to be a neutral site game like the NFL does. For this season,
we
can see that happen.
We actually said that or suggested that yesterday too, man. We said that exactly word for word. I actually threw if that was the case, a neutral site game. Miami is the first city that jumped to mind because they have a dome, the Marlins, as you already know. I mean, that's like ideal warm weather for baseball.
Ideal, they've done it before. They've done it with the Super Bowl before, that area. So they know how to do it. They can make it a real great extravaganza. And now if they did that, granted, they could probably maneuver it around the NFL, you know, not to be competing at all. They could work something out. See, that's something that you think they could kind of plan now with baseball because it's so far down. By the time November comes around for the NHL, it's next season already. So it's a totally different circumstance. I just don't know how far you are willing to sacrifice, how much you want to save the 2019-2020 season and sacrifice the 2020-2021 season. That's something they can't do.
Yeah, I think all teams, especially currently in the playoffs, are definitely not wanting to give up the opportunity for this Stanley Cup push. Looking at the Eastern Conference teams like the Capitals, for instance, I mean, this is a team that's got their window still open. Remember, it took them a while to crack it open. They've had those years. They struggled in the first couple of rounds of the Stanley Cup playoffs. They struggled with us, the Rangers, and they finally got over the hump and got a Stanley Cup, won over the Golden Knights. They're in there pretty much, you could call, prime. A team like the Boston Bruins, a similar situation, man. I mean, they've always been in and out this past decade as far as Stanley Cup contenders, but they have a strong, formidable team. You could say the same thing for the Tampa Bay Lightning. The Rangers were in a different situation this year because they were actually playing their best hockey. It's something, a narrative I was trying to convince, I guess, Ranger masses that the Rangers hadn't played their best hockey of the season until after the All-Star break. And they,
sure.
That's why they shot out of nowhere. They climbed. Yeah, but never seen this come out. I never thought.
No,
when I thought the season would come to a halt,
they were peaking. They were playing.
Yeah, they were peaking.
They were scaring teams. They were playing that well. I mean, even if they came back, it'd be hard to see Zibanejad and Panarin finding that form so quick. All the guys, though. I mean, all your top scorers, everything's off. These guys haven't been on the ice. You know, you talk about when a player gets hurt and misses three or four games, he's rusty for a few games coming back. These guys have been shut down almost 3 weeks now. March 12th, I think the NBA and the NHL went, March 11th and March 12th. First, they had the basketball game that night got canceled, and then they canceled
right,
the season.
Game,
they suspended
yep.
right there, and the NHL did the day after. So I think it was March 12th, April 1st. These guys are going to forever define their timing, define their cardio, their legs. Their timing to throw body checks. Their goaltenders are really going to struggle. And you know the other thing, Steve? If they do get to August and play, the entire format of how we know hockey is going to go back to the way it used to be in the 60s and 70s. You're going to see them not have a concern for television. If you're playing a best-of-five series, it's going to be two games, one day off, and then two games, and then if necessary, one day off in that fifth game. Or they might do a 2-3 format and eliminate all the traveling. If it's the best of seven series, you might see that thing that that hockey people hate, the 2-3-2 setup. This way they only got to travel twice in a 7-game set. And it's not going to be every other day. They're going to be playing. It's going to be a real condensed kind of system. So the players aren't going to be used to it. It's going to be a lot harder. Television is definitely going to be an issue. If you do it in August, you're battling against football. You get ready for you're battling against baseball. You're getting ready for football. The NBA might be playing around the same time. Everyone's going to be vying for television time. I read a report somewhere that the NBA is trying to get a certain amount of games in so that they get their television contract money paid to them. There's so much going on in the back hallways that we don't know about.
Right. But we can always piece it together and use common sense. I think me and you are
we
kind
try.
Of on the same path or similar
like
path. I think the NBA, in the NBA's case, I think maybe not the – okay, if they were to continue to see that, the subsequent season, the next season, I think they will shorten it, honestly. I think they will shorten it. They've had shortened seasons before because of labor union strikes, stuff like that.
Right.
So this is something they could handle. I mean, the last one was like, what, 99 was it? I think it was 99.
Oh, I don't remember.
Oh, no,
I think
no,
so.
No. There was another one too, 11-2, something like that. So, yeah, this is with the hockey, how they're going to play it. yeah, this is definitely a difficult situation. I think we might see a release, though. Meaning, when I say release, RP, I'm thinking, like, once this thing is – because I have no doubt that this thing is going to be over whenever it is, sometime in 2020. I really believe that. I'm not a doctor. This is the faith, just the faith speaking. I'm saying you're going to have everybody who's home on the social distancing stuff, especially sports fans. They are going to flood to the arenas whenever it happens to spark
up.
So
I think baseball is going to make it like a bandit on this. People don't want to go sit outside, have a beer and a dog. It doesn't care if you're watching a Yankee game, a Met game, a Baltimore game. I agree. Mm-hmm. Once this is over and we can resume our lives again, I think a sport like baseball, when you want to sit outside in the sun around, 50,000 people screaming and yelling, just laughing and having fun, I think it's going to be huge. But we need to get there. And, we're a long way off, unfortunately, from that. But you're right. And I think any of these sports, nobody wants to lose postseason. None of the sports. So I think they will, if they can figure it out, even if the first two rounds of playing hockey have to be best of five series just to get to the finals, then you might see that. You might see the first two rounds, best of five, and then the conference championship and the Stanley Cup, best of sevens. Don't worry about television. They did that. They could have the first two rounds of the playoffs knocked out in a week and a half. There'll be no time off. It'll be five games, if it goes five games, and then one day off, and then start it. And then you can get a five-game series done in 5 days with the one day off. So in 10 days, in 10 regular days, you can, essence, maybe 11 days, get the first two rounds of the playoffs out of the way. Now you might be able to work something out. The thing is, can they all agree to it? There's so many contractual things that the league and the players union are going to have to work out. If it's important to them to get a Stanley Cup at the end of the year, then they will. I mean, I think they will. I don't think anyone's going to say no to anything. As long as it's fair all around, you're going to deal with it. And at the end, someone's going to hoist the cup somewhere.
Well, there's a lot what you said. I'm going to try to unpack some of all the good points you said. It all starts with that room with the executives, the players union, ownership, the commissioner, ironing it out. Because here's a big kicker in all this, too, because just like we said with the NBA, when they canceled their one game, they set the tone of the rest of the sports world to cancel. It started with the NBA with the Jazz Thunder game. Actually, well, I take it back. Well, it did. It definitely did with that game because the Knicks had played the Hawks. Knicks had won. Jazz and Thunder were about to get underway. Then they canceled the one they were on in shoot around or whatever. And then the night is that night canceled. Then the next day, NHL games were still on tab. And then they filed suit with the NBA. And then, like you said, all the other sports followed. You know, mm-hmm. It is what it is. But here's the kicker: if one sport gets it, you know, if they finally start back up, I feel it's going to be the same thing with how all these other sports canceled, meaning if the NHL is still working its way around on how to do the playoffs and the NBA is like they found a way to get their season on, you're going to have irate fans like, hey, man, how did the NBA get it done and you can't? Like, you're going to get a lot of that backlash or whatever sport it is.
I agree, but I think it also depends on what you said. If the NBA is willing to shorten their next season to get a championship this season, again, do you want to sacrifice next year to award a winner this year? That's what you have to adjust.
You might have to, man. You might have to.
You might have to. Well, look, you just remember, look at all the downtime the Rangers had early in the season. They had three games and had a 10-day break. They had the bye week. They had the All-Star break. All of that would be gone. I could see them getting – you could probably get an 82-game schedule in if you're playing four games a week, if they want to do that, if the league wants to, if the players want to.
Well, yeah, absolutely. That's not a question. Because
the other problem is if you eliminate games, if you're playing only an 82-game season and next year you say we're going to do a 60-game season, the players might not want that because some players that have a chance of getting to the playoffs aren't going to have that opportunity. And then that's when the players' union is going to come in and say, my players don't want to do that. So they have to talk about that now before they can go forward with anything. Because if shortening next season isn't on the table, well, now you have to start maybe giving up on this season. So these are all things that they have to keep working out. You got to look at a guy that's about to retire at the end of next season who's on a really good team. And now if you shorten the season, his chances of getting to one more Stanley Cup playoffs and one more Stanley Cup finals could be lost because you're going to shorten the season by 12 games. And also, are the owners willing to take a shortened season, less attendance at home, after they lost all the attendance this year?
Oh, they want the
I don't know. This year, regular season is lost. That money, they're never going to find back. So the Rangers, what do they have, five home games left, let's say, out of the last 12? Let's just say it was six home games. That's six games they're not going to get back. Now, if you're going to give up 12 games next year, that might be another six. That's 12 games in home revenue you've given up. It's a lot of money to pass on. You've already lost this year's regular season. I don't see these owners saying, I'll shorten next season. I just don't see it financially. That's just a huge loss in 2 years that you'll never see that money, but all the players need to be paid their contracts. I don't think a lot of owners would go for that. Could be wrong.
No, I would think they're going to try to salvage whatever they can salvage. Let's say this year is lost, whatever. You make your money. See, I think this is a bigger picture. There's a bigger picture, not just the players getting their contracts, their money, because that's I think we hit the nail on the head when it comes to that. I think this is about kind of like what you're seeing the narrative, or the, I would say narrative, the stories of a lot of these workers that work in these arenas, the staff, the employees, let's say at Madison Square Garden or at the NASCAR Coliseum. If you're these people who are working to earn a living, you know, earn that extra paycheck, I think they're going to find a way to do good for those workers as well, because they I think this is there's going to be a good ending to this. What I say is I think the owners are going to try to solve as much as they can. I think everybody's going to pretty much be in agreement on whatever that plan happens to be, and I think it all trickles down to everybody. The owners are going to get their revenue. Players are going to get paid. Staff workers are going to have the opportunity to earn an income. So I think there's a lot that's to be said, and I think it is doable. You're just going to have to take a little bit of a hit. But I think to come around, if you were to play the 82-game season, and I think this is goes back to what we're saying as far as the players union and the league coming together, I think you're going to have to add roster spots, and I don't think that's going to be a problem as long as you can get that revenue going. You add those roster spots. You may not have to play those.
That wouldn't be a couple of guys. That's the easy part.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
For all the sports. That's easy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But again, you know, at the end of the day, I guess once they all get back, it's going to come back down to money. Look at Madison Square Garden. If you lost 6 Ranger games, and let's just say this season, 6 Knick games, that's 12 games this year without shortening anything. Those MSG employees aren't going to get paid to next season if they stop paying them now. It's a long time.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a long time. And then to sacrifice more games next year to shorten the season because you're trying to save this season, it's more than just the players' union. And it's more than just the general managers. Now you got to get team owners involved in these decisions because they're the ones fronting the money. So there's just a lot of people that need to be brought into the loop to kind of figure it out. And we're talking about all of this without even the slightest of an idea of when you could start a season this year. I was saying mid-May, and now it's looking more like maybe the beginning of June if you get lucky. You start getting the guys on the ice if everything goes our way. But then again, you don't know. New York, it might start getting better towards the middle of May. But the other cities and all, the wave might just be hitting them. It's the same problem our government has that they have here. Until it is over, until you start to see the light at the end of that tunnel, we're all just standing still.
Mm-hmm.
Stuck.
And that is why it is important now that you could, if everybody did their part, control their own actions, you know, stay away, 14,
stay
21,
inside.
28 days,
stay
whatever
home.
It is, this would, logically, this would probably be eliminated faster if everybody did their part. So that's kind of the domino effect in all this. That's just the way it's going to be, man. But I really can't wait till that day does happen, man. I mean, I just could see, I could foresee this, a celebration. It's going to be like fireworks. It's going to be like a holiday when all the sports return, the hockey, the basketball, here's the crazy thing. There's going to be I really think that they're going to look at – maybe they're not looking at it this deep, but I think historically they kind of want to make sure – they're going to look at – this is a historic moment. If you look at this period 100 years from now, you know, 200 years from now, they're going to look at how they went about how they fought through the adversity. They didn't quit. They didn't quit their seasons. They didn't quit what they were doing in life. And I mean, this doesn't have to pertain to sports. I'm just talking about whatever you're doing, like your job, whatever you get around. You didn't stop doing what you did because of a world crisis, of an epidemic. You, like for instance, with the sports, they resumed normal play. They didn't fold and crumble, you know, like in cards, you know, poker. You didn't fold, and they didn't fold their hand. They really bounced back, And I think that's the attitude they're going to take. I really believe that. I just don't see how it's not going to happen. Or if the season is a bit postponed, they're going to come back even with a bigger bang, with a great game plan on kind of what we're speculating on now. Either or, I think this is going to be one of those situations where we're never going to see this one in a while. I know, RP, let me ask you this. How did they do this for baseball? Hockey is NHL was around. NBA didn't even start till 1946. So, you know, after the World War, the Second World War. So we're saying after 1945-ish. Where baseball was out because of the World War, right?
Right.
Hockey
and then
was
baseball
already,
just,
what,
baseball
20-something
came back
years?
When all the players came back.
How
baseball came
it,
back
I,
when
I want to go
the
back
war
and study
over,
that piece of history.
That's when, with baseball, it's more known because that's when they had the Girls Professional Baseball League. They played. The men went to war. The war ended. A couple of seasons later, they were done, and the men came back. I mean, that's just – but you see – the difference with that, Steve, is once the war ended, they knew, they had an idea what was going on. It was like 9/11. 9/11 happening, it was devastating. But once the initial hell was over, people were able to rebuild. Now, I'm not talking about the properties and the land, but our own lives, we were able to start and pick up again. In this disease, in this virus, we don't know where that period will start. And that's what the biggest difference is between, let's say, 9/11, when I bring that up because ESPN showed the first baseball game back when it was the Braves against the Mets, and Mike Piazza hit that huge home run in the game, and the world went crazy. Shea Stadium.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, sure.
We can't get
I remember that.
We can't get to that moment. We can't get to that moment because we just don't know where this will end. And it's not just a city or a couple of cities. This is going to hit every city, and how hard and easy it hits is up to the people and how they handle it and how long it's going to take. And it's, you know, it's ravaged through China and ravaged through Italy, and they're starting to see the other side of it now, but it takes time, and that's where we're at. And until you get that time, and then can we go back there? There's so many other businesses that are shut down. And people can't pay their mortgages and the rent. You want to know the other problems? When sports start up, people may not have the money to go to the games. I mean, this is a real
problem.
You
look at
all these private businesses. It's another factor that the league has to take in. Hey, we're going to do all this work, and we're still going to play in front of an empty arena because everybody just can't come back. And what happens when you have three sports playing at the same time? People are going to have to pick and choose what sport they want to go to because who can afford all of that coming – you know, when we're on the other side of the mountain now.
Right.
You know,
right.
You're going to have the Major League Baseball, the NHL, and NBA all playing in August, just hypothetically. Forget preseason football. Just hypothetically. Okay, now who's gonna get the fans? Hockey's going to struggle because if the regular season's not in, well, now the New York fans are going to go to baseball, obviously, because the Knicks and the Rangers wouldn't be in it then. So, you can only spread so far, and people are suffering so much now. The leagues may have to look at that, too. You know, maybe we just do the quick playoff and be done with it. And there's so many important factors other than that part of it. Until you have an idea of when you can even think about skating in your private rink just to get your wind back, which they can't even do.
Yeah.
The NBA players can't go to a park and shoot around. You know, they're shooting in a expensive backyard. I understand that. It's a little different for an NBA player
right.
and an NHL player. But there's no way of knowing.
You're right. I mean, what NHL player you know? I don't know that player. Which player has his own rink in his backyard? There might be one. I don't know. I haven't seen that.
If it was a colder winter, a lot of them do in Canada. Believe it or not, a lot of these guys have these not full size rinks, but they have a spot where they can go out and skate and all of that. But not a lot of them, especially if they're playing home. You know, they're playing in the States now, so. It's just a difficult thing. I mean, look, an NBA player shooting around in his big backyard, full-size court, it's still just him and it's, you know, it is what it is right now. I just don't know. I don't know the blueprint. You know,
right.
All these people are not working.
And
millions, 8 million people applied for unemployment last week alone. 8 million people.
That,
I mean,
There is
a lot of those guys
a lot of moving parts with that.
What was that?
That is a very interesting point you brought up. There's a lot of interest. There's a lot of moving parts with that. A lot of people, unfortunately, are filed for unemployment. We're talking about record numbers. But you also have some of the moving parts where some of these vendors, people, like you said, the mortgage companies, your banks. If you have, if you own student loans, you may have deferment periods, so you may not have to pay some of your bigger bills. But who knows? Like, some people are finding every way to save their money. They probably will not go to games, but you never know, man.
They'll go to the beginning. I would think like baseball, people are going to go in the beginning, just like I said, to get out and go, but. Like you said, there's a lot of people just with so many other expenses on top. Who's going to spend $130 or $200 for a playoff hockey game ticket? It's really hard to envision, even for an NBA ticket.
But it's
you're not talking baseball when during the week.
Hold on. I think that when it comes to the buying your ticket, that's a supply and demand thing. It's almost kind of like, have you looked at airline tickets, RP? Like, you could look at a round trip flight,
anything,
right?
Now,
from,
sure, who,
right.
Where do you want to go?
Because nobody's getting on planes. So you might have
look
a situation
guess.
Where.
$1.60 a gallon. Yeah.
Yeah, I know, right? That's awesome.
A truck full of gas with nowhere to drive. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So you're
like,
right.
The round trip
demand
flight.
Is going to go to Florida for 90
bucks. I was saying, like, round trip flight, I was looking at like a couple weeks ago. Like, round trip flight from JFK to like Puerto Rico. I'd never seen it so low in my life. Like, it's almost like a dream. It was like $100 round trip on JetBlue on top of it. JetBlue. I mean, that's the best, to my opinion, one of the best of the best, the way they take care of the, customers and what comes with the amenities. So you might see a situation with the arenas, kind of it's supply and demand. If people can't afford to go to the games, you may see that price dip a little bit on the price per ticket. And then supply and demand, right? I mean, if people are not paying premium price for a ticket, the price has got to go low. That's just how it works. They're not going to raise it. It's going to go down.
No.
So, but that bigger picture, and to your point, you're right. Everybody else is going to be, getting them back to the flow of things, getting them back to a society where they're comfortable so they can step out. You don't want to have to penny pinch and save every, dime because they got to pay their, the bills. And we want everybody to, hopefully they get through their individual and family situations. So it's a lot going on, man. I mean, the domino effect, the month of February when we were going through this and we never thought we would hit this point. Based off where we were around the All-Star break when we were doing these episodes with you, RP, man, it's just, man, you got to reevaluate everything in society in literally like a month. Like, it's just crazy.
Yeah, it's going to have to be done before they get a date. Like, they're going to have to realize, let's just say, God forbid, that businesses and everything's the way it is right now through May. They're going to have to get their economic people and go, well, look, businesses have been closed since March 12th through May and June. 3.5 months. Who's going to buy tickets to a game now?
Nah,
what is the end game before it gets embarrassing? Imagine if you go through all this and you have a Stanley Cup playoff and you have half-filled arenas because no one can afford it, because the times don't work out, because of venue availability.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things. You don't want to look foolish in that either. You don't want to go through all this hard work, delay you started your next season, and then it's not what you're hoping it would be. I mean, hockey fans are great fans, NBA fans are great fans, but when it comes all down to it, the dollar in your pocket's more important. And right now, there's a lot of people don't have a dollar in their pocket.
Well, I don't know, man. Some fans, some Ranger fans, man, they'll sleep on the streets for the Rangers, man. I mean, that's some diehard stuff, man. I've seen it. I know. I mean, that's the
true
extreme fan, like.
Yeah.
So Some fans, they go, they'll take it there, man. I mean, that is, they breathe their sport, man. Whatever sport it may be, it could be football, hockey. I mean, it is about that team, and they'll rep it to the day they're gone, man. I mean, yeah, I mean, I get it. Sometimes food on the table is common sense for 98-99% of us. There's that 1% or half of 1% where they're kind of like, I'll figure it out. I'll eat later. I'm getting to that game. Is that something? But that's just the minimum, man. That is the minimum. RP, I'm trying to think. I don't have anything else to add. Any final thoughts? I think we covered pretty much all. I mean, like I think the bigger message for me, RP, man, is just if you feel you got to go to the source, you know, your media, your news, to get the right information, but don't allow whatever medium you happen to choose to get your information from to deter or depress or desire. Don't let it strap down the memory or your brain, man. You got to take it in doses, basically. But, RP, your final thoughts, and thank you for everything you do with Ranger Proud, Elite Sports New York, your articles, keeping everybody tapped. Oh, yeah, that's the one thing I wanted to ask you, RP. Did you been watching the games on MSG, man, like the Rangers games, the replays? Or
no.
Back down
I
memory lane?
The only replay game I watched the NHL Network show, the Winter Classic, when we played the Sabres at Citi Field a couple of years back when J.T. Miller scored in overtime. I watched the overtime. I don't get excited watching old videos. I never did. Not my cup of tea.
Uh-huh.
I don't know.
Right.
I don't know. I've watched it. I mean, that's even me now, though. I can't tape a hockey game and not listen to a report and then go back and watch the game when I know what the result is already. I am not one to do that. I'll watch it to see.
Not even
plays an awful one.
Not even Game 7, 94 Stanley Cup Finals, man, versus the Canucks?
Yeah, well, that's
no?
a little exception. Yeah, that was the third period there. I'll tend to hang in a little bit longer than normal, yes. But for the most part, not my thing. I wrote about it, the whole MSG. This whole week, they were reliving the 2014 season on MSG for the Rangers. They also covered the Nets and the Devils and the Islanders, but who cares about that? But yeah, they were doing that this week. Not all the games, just the big games through that season. There were a couple of interesting games that were shown, but I haven't really watched it.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, all right, cool. Final thoughts from you, sir.
Stay home. That's my final thought, guys. Stay home if you can. I know a lot of us are essential workers. I'm considered an essential worker. If you want to know something? Stay home if you can stay home. Listen to what these people are saying. This theory of, oh, they don't know what they're talking about, or it's not serious enough. You think they were pretty right that it's pretty serious. If you want to get your sports back, if you want to get your businesses back and your life back, you got to just suck it up. I'd rather be bored for a couple months now than sick for a couple of months later. So just try to, you know, stay home, read, watch videos, Netflix, whatever we got to do. We'll just try to get this over as quick as we can and get forget the sports, just get our lives back together. And everyone be healthy, be safe, and be smart.
I have nothing else to add to that, man. That is a great way to close this episode, man. The Ring Podcast with Ranger Proud, the hockey still on pause. RP will be definitely talking. Maybe we'll pick up another episode next week and talk more, see where we are with society and keep our sanity. Rate podcast with Ranger Proud, iTunes Podcast Republic, TuneIn, Stitcher, Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, Spotify for the millennials. Oh, man, I forgot to mention about the NHL draft, and I was looking forward to trying to go to that in Montreal. Well, that's out the door.
That's out the door.
Yeah, that's gone. Sangria Su, ladies and gentlemen. Bleed blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep bloop, 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 bleep bloop.